Welcome back to It's an Inside Job podcast. I'm your host, Jason Lim. Now, this podcast is dedicated to helping you to help yourself and others to become more mentally and emotionally resilient so you can be better at bouncing back from life's inevitable setbacks. Now, on It's an Inside Job, we decode the science and stories of resilience into practical advice, skills, and strategies that you can use to impact your life and those around you. Now, with that said, let's slip into the stream. Well, welcome back, folks. Thanks for joining me for a fresh new week and a fresh new episode. This week, I have another interview lined up for you. She is Cecilia Leeskogen. Now, Cecilia, with her husband, Tord, they run Sundvolden Hotel. Now, this interview is part of that ongoing series where I talk to business owners, business leaders, and entrepreneurs as to how they lead themselves and lead their organizations to build organizational resilience and how they face unprecedented adversity and change and the unexpected. And in this conversation, I wanted to pick Cecilia's head to understand how she leaded herself and her hotel through the crisis of the pandemic. Now, the pandemic is far behind us, but we can still draw from those lessons to understand how we can learn from each other. Now, for those listeners outside of Norway, you may have heard of Sundvolden Hotel. Back in July 22nd, 2011, there was a mass murder of a political summer camp on the Norwegian island of Utøya, where 69 young people were shot dead, numerous injured, and many left with psychological trauma. Cecilia Leeskogen, along with her husband Tord Leeskogen and their team at Sundvolden Hotel, well, they opened up their hotel to be the triage center, to be the center of operations for the police and to trauma teams to treat and help the victims of that most heinous crime. Although we do speak to the event of July 2011, that is not what this conversation is about. This conversation is about Cecilia Leeskogen, her husband, and her team, and how they moved through that event, plus that of the pandemic. Now, I wanted to talk to Cecilia because I've known her for some time, and she's a person who is very down-to-earth, very empathic, very humble, very open, very caring. And throughout our conversation, this is readily evident. You can hear it in her voice. And so in part one of our conversation, we talk about how the pandemic hit Sundvolden Hotel, how all of a sudden, overnight, they had cancellations across the board. And the question is, how do we survive? How do we move forward? And as you will discover through the conversation, Cecilia talks about her mindset in leadership, leading herself, and the organization through the chaos, through the uncertainty. And there were two major pillars that she focused her energies around. First was to make sure her staff had a sense of purpose, that they had projects that they could focus on. What does that mean? Where they had a sense of control, they had a sense of certainty, and a sense of creating predictable outcomes to build their confidence. And the second one was to fall back on Sundvolden's values and their culture. And that is what created stability through the rocky, turbulent times. So I hope you will enjoy this conversation as much as I did with Cecilia. This first part is packed with a lot of skills and lessons that we can apply in our own leadership when it comes to leading ourselves and leading others. So without further ado, let's slip into the stream and meet Cecilia Leeskogen. Well, I'd like to welcome Cecilia Leeskogen to It's an Inside Job.
Thank you.
I was wondering, perhaps we could begin by you introducing who you are and what you do.
Jason, I am 52 years old now. I am a mother of three grown-up teenagers and running a hotel just outside of Oslo. And married to Tord.
Maybe you could tell us a little about your hotel and the business. Because it's not just some small hotel. It's quite a large hotel. I've been there two or three times myself. Could you just describe the hotel for our listeners?
Yeah, it's a quite big, mainly conferences hotel. It's got 273 rooms and a lot of big conference halls and meeting rooms. So we are since the 70s, been among the biggest conference hotels around Oslo. And we have about 130 employees, around a revenue of 120 million Norwegian crowns a year. Yeah, so it's quite big.
And it is, it's also in a very beautiful location located there. And it literally, you feel like you're out way out in the countryside, out in the mountains, but it literally, I think it's only a 30 minute drive or 35 minute drive from the center of Oslo, which is a little, I think it's surreal. So it's really cool. It's a really nice location for conferences. A lot of the companies I work with actually have had a lot of conferences there and such. So Cecilia, this is part of an ongoing series where I talk to business owners, business leaders and entrepreneurs as how do they build organization resilience, how they face adversity and challenge. And of course, I don't like constantly harping on it, but the pandemic was that big meteor that hit the world in a sense, and it shifted everything. If it's okay with you, I would like to explore and understand your story of leadership and how you and Tord led the hotel, Sundvolden Hotel, through this pandemic. First of all, how did the pandemic and the lockdowns hit your business?
Well, it hit us very fast and very hard. Just in a day or two, we had to let almost all of our employees go. And because all our guests canceled their bookings. So, and I had to say, like, that's one of the, not so many times in my career, I really felt leadership was really necessary. We did what we had to do, like from day to day, taking care of the employees, but just we had nothing to do. So we turned around and asked our neighboring communes if they had some need of us in the for the healthcare. So we got some elderly people that needed to be isolated from the rest. So we had a 3 months, an elderly people home at the
hotel. So you had talked to the municipalities in your region to see how you could help them with certain things. And so a lot of these senior people, 65 plus, or maybe even old, obviously older, they could be isolated in the rooms that they'd have their own areas. Is that what I understand?
Yeah. So we kept our leaders working. We are around 12 people then. And then we did what ever had to be needed. I was in the kitchen even baking breads, and I made around 800 breads in that period. So because I'm also a chef, educated, so we kind of did what was needed, the 12 of us, to run this for the first 3 months. And then after that, they moved back and we could start a little bit again, running the normal hotel business, getting a few of the employees back more and more, until we got closed again in November. And then it was really just nothing we could do because the pandemic hit so hard. There was nothing.
And this is November 2021 we're talking about now, right? When the second lockdowns came, or maybe even the third.
No, it's November 2020.
Yes. November 2020.
Yeah. And then we had to close down the hotel for 4 months.
So if we could rewind back to the initial, within 48 hours you had to close. I mean, you and your leadership team, what was the initial thoughts? I mean, what were you guys thinking? Obviously, there was so much uncertainty, so much unknown as to what the virus was and the seriousness of it. What were some of your initial thoughts when you heard the news?
Well, we thought maybe in the beginning that because we've never seen this before, we've never seen this kind of close down or anything like it. So we thought maybe we could keep our the staff that was full time employed. We thought maybe we could keep them if they just did could do all the different tasks, not just keeping to their own job, be flexible. And so we thought that was, it changed from the start of the day to the end of the day, but we tried as much as possible to see if it was any possibility for them to be to be there, but
stay on.
We got all the cancellations and just understood we just had to let them go. So it was really difficult, but you know, there was actually not a chance. So so that was quite easy decision to make, because but then that, like I told you, the next time. Then there was nothing we could do, and that was really tough. We just had a hotel manager, and we were four people left, and we just have to run around the hotel, flushing toilets, trying to answer bookings, and talking with the guests. Try to keep the hotel kind of in shape for 4 months. That was a really strange and difficult time. But then we got a contract again, because I think all through the pandemic, we tried to like have the initiative to try and find like, what can we do? What can we use the hotel for? Is there anything we can do? And then there's this company building the road across Storlihøgda. And they were in need of housing suddenly, because they didn't get their barracks in time. So they, like 100 workers, needed the place to stay and eat and everything. And so from March 2021, then we could open up, and for 6 months we had them, and then we could also start when it was allowed to have guests again.
Well, that was very, very fortunate. I'm glad to hear that. You know, a lot of companies, when they were hit with the pandemic, when hit with such adversity and unknown challenge, that's actually when the company culture can come alive. And so there are some companies where they speak a good game when it comes to the culture and the values. But I was wondering, but then there's other companies who actually their values and their culture come alive because they're forced to, and they really live those values. I was wondering, could you describe the culture of Sundvolden Hotel and the leadership and the employees? How would you say the pandemic hit your culture and made you live or didn't live your values as a company?
Well, we have some. We have a vision for our culture, loved by our guests and admired by our competitors. And we say that it all depends on me. And when we work like it all depends on me, we make each other proud. And we also have described what a Sundvolding, we call the people working in Sundvolden. It's called Sundvollinger. And we award this Sundvolding each month. Like we award one that...
One employee with...
which has been proven the standards and really impressed the others. So the motivation, I also say that all the work is equally important. All the workers, and even though we have a hierarchy it's really a flat structure, and it's all about guest satisfaction. Whoever is closest to the guest at all times can decide what we should do. It has always been a safe or a good place to work. So for us, when it's like when this happened, you know, and we understood that it's not safe. We can our workers are out of work, and we can do nothing about it. We really did like everything we could to kind of reestablish that. And so for us, the most important was to get something to do for the workers. Actually, getting into this contract was not very... We did it to kind of get the employees back so they could start working again, so we wouldn't lose more workers, and to kind of reestablish reestablish the organization again, because that was so important, which also made us... The last time we got closed down in November again, 2021.
Yes.
We kept all the workers, even though we didn't know how long we were going to be closed down.
So you kept all the employees working for that extended lockdown and such.
Yeah. The last one. Yeah. Because then I was just, I couldn't imagine going through the same again. And it was said that we were going to get some compensation for salary, but we made a lot of projects internally to refurbish different areas, and I had to had crash training with employees to paint and put cement on the floors and doing different things to kind of freshen up the hotel. So we did that for 3 months, December, January, and February.
And so, as you said, you found things for your employees to do. You know, these small projects, they had to become, it sounds like, multiple talented in different areas and such to fix up places and things that they usually didn't do. But that that also sounds like that speaks a lot towards your company's culture and its values, where it is you have on maybe on paper it's a hierarchy, but as you said, it's more of a flat organization where people can talk to each other. And I think that goes a long way when we talk about psychological safety, where people feel connected, they can feel valued, and they can feel secured in what you did. And obviously, in such crazy times, those become the foundational things, because we don't, you know, we can't always understand what uncertainty is. But if you can create an environment, a working environment where people can communicate and collaborate and they have a sense of purpose and value, well, that creates the certainty. And that allows what it sounds like for Sundvolden Hotel and the culture and the employees and the leadership is that by doing this, that allows us to face adversity. It allows us to face challenge more constructively and as a team, or maybe as even a family. If it's you've called your people, what is it, Sundvolden Knights?
Sundvolden, yeah.
Sundvolden it.
and in this time, these months, we called us Company Sundvolden. And we had a start every morning at 8 with a common talk, you know?
Yeah.
And like talking about, you know, how the environment looks now and what we think about when we can maybe reopen again and what's happening. So we kind of had a common understanding of the reality. And then we got onto the projects and what we could do today. And we distributed the work. And it was like the greatest team building ever. You know, people doing so many things they didn't know how to do together. And looking back, you know, it's been a really valuable time also, because people really got to know each other, solving all these different tasks together with different groups across departments. And we had a really nice lunch every day at 12. And then we just sat around, you know, with lights and candles and really had a nice lunch. And we never do that. We don't have time for that in the normal day-to-day business. So that was kind of a nice thing. So I think everybody looked forward to going to job. We had very little sick leave in that time. And yeah, people really appreciated coming to work and having this common work to go to.
Even though
the business was really... it was all closed down and nothing to do.
Yeah, because I want to explore that. It's so simple what you say there, Cecilia, where we had this morning huddle at 8 a.m. But when we look at the sense of in a chaotic world to create that sense of stability, if I could just break it down from my perspective, you know, what I hear is that every morning you guys gathered and you talked about things you're going to do, projects, and how teams were going to deal with this or deal with this. So there was a sense of community, there was a sense of purpose, and there was a sense of clarity as to what to do. And one of the major things when I used to work with trauma, or when I work with clients now, like corporate clients, is that things can feel uncertain. Things can feel like everything's thrown in the air and there's no stability. You're standing on not solid ground. But those morning huddles, as simple as they were, allow people to feel that their feet were on solid ground, that they had something to do, that they had a purpose. Yes, it wasn't the day-to-day of what they were hired for, but it created a sense of community. And the other thing, what I really like you hearing, is that we were talking about the future, how things are going to play out. You know, you were talking about strategy and tactical moves as to a brighter future. You did not know this, but what it sounds like is you created confidence within your organization. And confidence is actually two beliefs. It's that we can do and it will happen. And then at lunchtime, you'd gather at 12 o'clock and you'd create a certain atmosphere, a certain stemning, as you guys call it in Norwegian, with the candles and lunch. And again, it's a place to gather again, to recharge, to reconnect, and then go into the afternoon with whatever other tasks. I just wanted to kind of break down the DNA of those meetings, because that creates a sense of community. That creates a sense of stability and connection. They feel secure amongst each other. And maybe some of these people didn't work with each other to some with other tasks, but now they do. I don't know, painting a wall or, you know, flushing toilets or whatever it is, or laying a floor or what have you. But I just wanted to talk about that because I think that is so important for leaders to understand that where can we turn to our culture and our values and actually things that we can do to create a sense of purpose in uncertainty. Have I kind of captured in a sense what you just said?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really nice. And I think we all felt a big sense of purpose and direction because we were working towards, of course, the reopenings at some time. And and for the hotel to look great, you know, when we could open again.
Yeah.
And so it was really a common goals, really, really a good feeling, even though me as a leader, you know, I didn't have the answers. I didn't know when. I didn't know if I would have enough projects. And I was struggling with all this, but I was trying to fill up with projects all the time.
In the second part of the conversation, Cecilia talks about how, as a leader, she has to provide a sense of stability, to be present, to be open, to be able to update people as to what's going on, to be rational, to be responsive to her team. But then the conversation shifted as to discovering what Cecilia does to lead herself, to strike a balance within herself in order to recharge and to recuperate, to face the next day, which is full of challenges. And she talks about how nutrition and sleep and exercise and spending time with herself is so important. And what was equally important, if not more important, was to take care and to be appreciative and to show gratitude for her kids, for her husband, for her family, for her friends. And taking care of herself and having a rich personal life means that she could show up day in, day out, regardless of the trials and tribulations that she and her team had to face on a daily basis. I was wondering, Cecilia, if we just shifted to you as a leader, what did you learn about yourself through those 2 years of ups and downs, of trying to build teams in uncertainty and facing adversity? What did you learn about yourself?
Well, I learned that leadership is necessary. And it's important that I am able and capable of being a leader when it's needed. And it's important that I am in balance. I am balanced. I always worked as a leader, actually, since I was starting to work. And even before that, I was always taking on like leader roles.
Yes.
But it's never been, I've never felt it so strongly.
Clear.
Yeah, so strongly clear, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That how important it is and how big an impact it has that you are clear, you are reliable, you are rational, you are, you know, all these things that the people can rely on you, look to you, get the answers, get the information. So it's really a big test, I think, in leadership.
So in order, you know, as you said, you clarified expectations, you were reliable, you were there, you were on time, you helped create projects and purpose. But in order to lead others, to have that stability, even though you might feel chaos inside, how do you find that balance you describe? What lessons did you learn to lead yourself through such massive amounts of change and turbulence? How do you find stability and balance for yourself?
Well, I think, Jason, that's a lifelong learning. And that, I think, it's a lot of experience. And I think for me, I have always try to learn more and more about the human being and how we are and what we need. And like I told you, I just came home from a 1 week yoga retreat. So I found that, like, having time on my own to kind of recharge, I need that. Doesn't have to. It can be a walk. It can be anything. I need my relations around me. I need good relations to my family and friends. I have a lot of projects going to keep myself in balance. Everything from sleep and food, and I try to learn from everything I read and learn, and try to do the right thing.
So nutrition and sleep, these are fundamental things. And it sounds like you also take care of yourself physically by going for walks or doing yoga or stretching and such, and finding some of that alone time to kind of think through your own thoughts, sort of clear house upstairs. Is that what I understand?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all of these things to keep myself sound, like in shape. But also for me, the kind of most meaningful is to be somebody for my family and friends. That work life balance is extremely important. I would feel just so unsuccessful if I didn't have that. It doesn't matter how much success I would have as a leader if I wouldn't be the greatest mom for my three kids, or the sister or brother sister that I want to be, or that is to me the most important. And then, so I need time for that. I need to gather my family around the big table. That's probably a kind of my life goal. The thing I live for is to kind of gather people around a big table, have a nice meal. To feel that togetherness.
I can highly respect that. So
family and friends.
To be somebody for your parents, for your kids, for your husband, for your friends, what have you, to have that connection. And so what is top of mind constantly for you is to find the integration between private and professional life. And by feeding the private life, that gives you the surplus or the overskew to be a good leader. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, that combined with like taking care of me, like, yeah. But I need both of them very much to be filling up.
Yes, yes. And so a lot of it's sort of a head game, like it's an inside job, and it's to understand that. So you are actually consciously aware of taking choices to take time out of your day to kind of feed yourself in a sense with exercise, sleep, nutrition, time alone. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, I try to do that.
And so if you touched base on just previously, but if you had to give some advice to leaders dealing with unprecedented change, with amounts of uncertainty that they've never focused on, what tips as a leader would you give them?
To me, it's been extremely important to build a team around myself. So because I have certain qualities within leadership, I can be courageous. I can see the totality. I can I know the job, but I'm not the biggest organizer, and so I'm humble. I try to be humble, and I would always ask the team. I will always be including team in the decisions. I will always be open, but I'm also certain that I have a lot of experience, and I have a good base kind of myself also, but I think it's important to be, to be down, like really not trying to be the master. Mm. So we are kind of agreeing on the decisions that we make all the time, because it's things like this are so difficult and have such big impact. So it's so important that we are all in the same boat. We all understand why. I don't want to be alone doing these decisions.
No. And so what I hear is that you've created a feedback culture where people feel they can share their opinions, they can challenge ideas, and that even though you have a lot of experience and knowledge in the business, it's also good to hear different opinions because they may say something that you've overlooked. What I also hear is that there's also expectations. There's always a clarification of expectations, managing those expectations to understand how and which way to go forward. Would you say that people feel within your team that they can speak up and challenge you sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. And I hope so. And I kind of challenge them also to do so. We have a psychologist in our board.
Okay.
And he also do some leader training on the leader team and also on their employees, like stresses, coping with stress and things like that. But so we are kind of trying to get people to speak up, be safe enough, have the psychological safety, like you talked about.
Yes.
But it's easier for some than others always, but it's something I try to encourage because it's always complex and it's good that we see it from different angles and people have different information. And
what do you think you are the most proud of over the last, let's say, 2 to 3 years of how you've come through this, how you and your team and how you and Tord have come through this?
Well, I'm proud of that we came out of the pandemic with a full house and a lot of guests that are really happy and giving good feedback. And it's been really fantastic to see how the guests are turning back and we're getting even new guests. And so that's really fantastic to see. And even though I've lost some leaders also in this process because they were really worn out and tired, yes. We kind of reestablished the team and they are really doing a great job. I'm proud to see how it's really just running so well and we get feedback from the guests that they are really, you look like you've never been down. It's like, it's a lot of overskill.
Yeah, there's a lot of profit. There's a lot of revenue coming in now.
Yeah, and also the guests are saying that we seem
to the energy. Yeah, you have a surplus energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also good.
That's also good.
So back to you sharing some advice. You know, what should leaders focus on to stay relevant as we move forward?
Well, I think it's an ongoing job all the time to keep updated and always also tap back into some education. Last year, I also took a subject in online in the pandemic in INSEAD, at INSEAD. And I took a master degree in 2010. Whenever I tap into the education again, I can see, in education, I've always been like very average. I'm not the top student. I'm that's also what trying balancing everything. But because I'm never maybe, I always have to take care of the whole picture, not just my studies. But I am. It's so important to kind of get new information all the time. And now we have this wonderful world of podcasts. And so we can listen in and try to get more.
You get a lot of information from those podcasts. And it's a free resource for a lot of people in almost any sense of business or area of interest. Because what I hear you saying is, in a sense, you haven't said, but you stay humble. And in the sense that you have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, and you have many years of leadership experience. But that means you don't know everything. And that means you reach out to your team. You ask them for things. They may be inexperienced, but maybe they say they see something and they can speak up. So you've created that environment, or you and your team have that environment where people can speak up. But at the same time, you're constantly refreshing your skills. And I think that is so important in a world that is moving even faster and faster. I mean, we heard this, that the world's moving faster in the 80s, 90s, the early 2000s. But it's, you know, in 10 years from now, we're going to even say it's even moving faster. And so by educating ourselves, by learning, by whether it's passively through podcasts or actively through online or training or going to college, I think this speaks to how organizations stay resilient. And is this something you encourage in your top leadership, for them to continue their educations or expanding their skill sets?
Yeah, I try to do so. I'm not always so successful with that. I think like taking on education is like tougher than other things and to keep updated. But another thing that I was also mentioning is that, like, also taking part in other companies' boards, I think is a good way of developing oneself. And I'm also a judge in work law. I think that is also like a way to learn. And being part of networks like in NHO and HR network, which I am part of, is a great way of learning, like different networks. And I encourage, of course, my leaders also to do like those kinds of things, like being part of network and having people to talk to. Yeah, so those kind of things. But I think it's especially in our business, maybe it's a kind of tough to kind of take on more education as the first thing. But I tried and succeeded sometimes.
And so through educating oneself, by encouraging that, it's not always successful, because some people are just satisfied where they are and some people are hungry for more and more development. So it'll be a sort of a patchwork of different types of initiatives that different employees want. When it comes to your team, how do you see Sundvolden moving into the future? What are the plans for the organization?
We are getting more digital. We need different kind of competencies. Like, we need more people with good in computer
data skills, IT skills.
IT skills, yes. And we see that the speed of learning, especially, is like so important. And to have some, I have to of course be good at it also, but we need people that are good at reading the environment and adapting quickly, because like you say, things are moving so fast, and not to lag, we need people that are really on these things going on, especially in the digitalization and communication. So, because, you know, we are solo, we are independently owned and run hotel, and our competitors are big chains with a big main office of different competencies that are working on IT and communication, for example. So we need to be very good at that without having that big team.
As a company, if I'm looking to have a conference, what is the reason I should choose Sundvolden over some of your competitors?
Well, like you started saying, how the environments where we are, you know, it's really beautiful out at Sundvolden. It's a lot of things to do when you come out there. And all our guests are saying, you know, both the employees are really flexible and very service-minded. And our facilities are maybe one of the best in the business. We have these great meeting halls and, you know, sound systems, air systems that are highly compatible with anything in the market. So it's maybe those three things, the surroundings, the people, and the facilities that are the main reasons to go out to Sundvolden.
It is an amazing place, like location wise, for if hiking or running or swimming, if that's part of it. But you also have that huge modern conference center I remember that we were invited there. I remember it was in 2019. We spoke about this earlier, or Alphaville game. And I'd never actually seen Alphaville. I liked a lot of their music. Yeah. And it was an amazing setup in that big conference hall. The guy had the concert, or Alphaville had the concert, and it was packed to the rafters with people. So it was a great time. And I just remember all the facilities there. And yes, the people were very, very friendly when it came to services, the very service minded. Was there any last tips or any last pieces of advice you'd like to leave with our listeners, Cecilia?
I think what I have chose to listen to, my inner compass I've had since, yes, I was little, what is right and what is wrong, and try to act on that and have the courage to stay in situations where I feel this is not right or this is right. So I try to always listen to that, even though it hurts at the time. As an example, we also made a refugee housing home at one point when, yes, there's a lot of people coming from Afghanistan. I don't, yes, remember, yes, the year. And then we got heavy, you know, protests from the local environment. Mm. But then to stand in that and really just do what was needed then. And like the same with the 22nd of July, when, and also,
yes,
in
2011, the, yes.
Yes. And just to do, try to do what you think is right, even though it's tough. And then I think it's really important to have a belief that what you really feel is right, then you should, you know, act on it.
Just to touch on that, you were referring to July 2011. That was when Anders Breivik terrorized the community, and it was all the trauma and such. And Sundvolden was in the newspapers. As it stepped up, it provided a place for a triage where they took the injured and evidently probably those who had been shot, and the shock and the trauma teams were there. If we could just, I just wanted to dive in there. What did you learn about yourself?
Yeah, well, for us, you know, it was just the only and natural thing to do. And it was really such a good feeling too, to be able to help. It was, you know, people were so worried all around the country, and everybody wanted to do something, but we could actually go to work and actually do something for the people that were the victims. And I think that was really a good feeling. And again, what that did to the team at the hotel, being able to do something in this situation was really, they felt really good and proud afterward. We got, you know, this good feedback. And so it was really to do this, to help others, are really something that builds and makes you feel, you know, good. And I was also thinking about, I listened to one of your other podcasts about takknemlighet.
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Yeah.
Gratitude. And throughout the years, I've also seen that focus on gratitude, how that really makes a difference in people. And I always think that I want to be that person that has focused on gratitude, because when you look at people that has and hasn't, you know, you know who you want to be. You want to be that person who has actually focused on gratitude, because, you know, they are such a great, they're like that elderly woman,
yes,
who has been focusing on gratitude is totally different than the bitter, you know, not understood. So that's one of my life goals, actually, to be able to, you know, I'm so grateful for being able to have played a part in both this and this tragic event, and now coming through the pandemic, it's been to me also an experience that I have learned so much from. So it's I think it's really so important to have that attitude.
But I think that speaks volumes to yourself, to your team, when you're faced with such tragedy such as 2011. And then through the pandemic, you know, these things were just thrust upon you. No one saw this coming, either cases, and how you guys stepped up. And I think it sounds like it even underlines how important it is to be self-aware, to kind of have that self-reflection, to understand that internal compass, as you're saying. And when you get that reading, that you follow that reading, you follow that direction. And it's also to be appreciative of where you are at, what you've learned, what you have, and not constantly. It's great to strive for new goals and to get new things, of course. But it's also what it sounds like to show that gratitude and appreciation for the family around you, your friends, the colleagues, and to infuse that, to encourage that kind of environment, both privately and professionally. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, and I think so. Yeah. I try to really act, what is it, walk the talk?
Yeah, or, walk the talk. Yeah. Well, Cecilia, I really appreciate your time and your generosity of sharing your advice, your story, and your knowledge with us. So I thank you again, and I hope we will have a chance to have maybe another interview at some point to see how things are going a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, because now there's new clouds in the horizon.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks again, Cecilia.
Okay, thank you.
Well, folks, that was Cecilia Leeskogen. Along with her husband, Tord Leeskogen, they are the owners and operators of Sundvolden Hotel. I will leave all the contact information in the show notes. For any of you leaders out there looking for a great conference area, I highly recommend it. I've been there and many of my clients have been there, and it's a great location. And you have to actually see some pictures to do this place justice. But anyways, thank you, Cecilia, for showing up today and sharing your story with me. You know, I always feel great after an interview with such high caliber people because I learn so much from them. It truly does leave me in a good headspace, and that carries throughout my day. Well, anyways, folks, if you have the time and if you have the gumption, I would really appreciate you leaving a review in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever platform you listen to. And if you could do me a big favor, I'm always trying to spread the word of this podcast and its message about building resilience. And if you could share with two people, if you can recommend two people, you would be doing me a solid. I'd really appreciate that. But here we are at the tail end of another episode. I thank you for showing up as you do every week. But until next week, keep well, keep strong, and we'll speak soon. Oh,